And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jews said that, then Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So much bowing. Nobody knows which direction to go. Friends, sometimes things only become clear after the passage of much time. Think about events from early in your own lives, events that were difficult or painful, that no sense could be made out of, and looking back on them now, what they've done to form who you are, where you wound up. I know that in my own family, if I look back to the day that my mom was diagnosed with cancer and those first weeks that followed, it felt like the end of the world. There was no kind of consolation to be found. But now, 20 years later, our family looks back, and I'm not exaggerating, we say, "Thank God for that cancer." The cancer was serious, but not deadly. But in the course of treating the cancer, they found something that was absolutely and actively killing her. The cancer, in a way we could never have imagined, saved her life. The church is giving us gospels, last Sunday, this Sunday, and all the days in between, that are not coming from Easter time. It's not the risen Lord here saying, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him." It's the Jesus who's about to die. But it doesn't make any sense in the midst of death and trial and persecution to talk about glory. Not unless you know the end of the story. It couldn't make sense until after the fact. And now much of what he says changes. Listen again. "My children, I will be..." I had this in Spanish last night. "Hijitos," little tiny ones. "Little one, I'm only going to be with you a little while longer. I give you a new commandment. Love one another. Even as I have loved you, love one another." Now, this is a helpful remedy for many of us who struggle with self-esteem. Telling someone to love your neighbor as yourself when you don't really love yourself is not very effective. I know, I've tried. But telling someone to love other people like he does, that is a different thing. What's peculiar about this, what's strange about this, what is seemingly impossible about this, is that love is the one thing which cannot be commanded. Love is the one thing which cannot be commanded, cannot be compelled, cannot be demanded from another person. It has to be given in freedom, or it's not really love. It's something else. Now, that doesn't mean that it's simply a feeling. That's the reason that we get caught on this, right? We think love is about affection, or that love is about fellow feeling, or love is about romance, or love is about some sort of interior disposition. The only interior disposition necessary to love another person is to will their good and to be united with them in the way that one can be according to your relationship. Husbands are united to wives differently than parents to children, different than neighbors to friends to other people. This is really, really important because in a time when we're struggling with the impact of law on our own country, we may be able to change laws to prevent harm, but it still won't cause people to love those who are not presently loved. And that's desperately important for us because love, I'm not sure if you've gathered this yet, love is our business. Love is what we do. Love, this kind of perfect love, after the manner of the love of the Lord himself, that's what we can bring to the world that nobody else can. And if we're not leading with that sort of love, it doesn't matter what laws you change. You still won't have justice or peace. When I was a little boy, my parents did that thing. I know that many of you did this, and I know that many of you had this happen to you as little kids. But you know that thing where your parents are friends with somebody else's parents, and they're such good friends with them, they start to imagine, wouldn't it be great if our kids grew up and got together? You know that thing. Well, it was a great idea. The family was a wonderful fit. The O'Hearns, they were Irish, just like us. They were Catholic, just like us. They lived a lot like us. The only problem was, as we grew up, Julia, who was the girl who was my age, was 6'2" by the end of fifth grade. I needed a stepladder. She wound up throwing the hammer for Yale. That dog weren't going to hunt no matter how bad anybody wanted it to. Now, I do love Julia now as an adult. I didn't a lot as a kid. She was annoying as hell in the way that little kids can be when they're always after each other, right? You know, I'd pull her pigtails and she'd wallop me, which is the way it usually worked. But right, it's that sort of misunderstanding of love. You can't compel love even out of your own children. You can invite, you can extol, you can lead by example in profound ways, sometimes the most profound of ways. But you'll never be able to force it out of another person. That's not love, that's assault. And we don't want to assault someone else's dignity. We simply want to draw what's good back out of them. The word commandment here, the word that Jesus uses, I give you a new commandment. It's the same word that gets used for the Ten Commandments. Now, this is an aside, but it seems rather important. Nobody knew about the Ten Commandments until, 1,500 years ago or something. This is not the way the Jews talked about the law. So they wouldn't count it that way. They weren't enumerating it that way. They weren't especially sure that those 10 were a lot more important than the other 600. They had a kind of privileged place, but nothing like what we do now, right? And even catechism classes in the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th century, we weren't making sure our kids could memorize the 10 bits on the tablet. But the reason the tablets were important and the reason those 10 had a special place in the life of the Jews was because, you remember the story, don't you? God wrote them himself. They came from God's hand, right? So no place else in the Bible do we really pretend that, like, God's dictating stuff to people. But when Moses went up the mountain to receive the law, God wrote the law on the tablets. Moses comes down with the tablets, and the people have set up an idol. And Moses loses his stuff and throws the tablets down and breaks them. And so then has to go back upstairs, and God has to dictate them to him, and he has to rewrite them out by hand. The reason that's important is because our word commandment, the man part of it isn't like masculine, it's hand, manus. It's also where our word assignment comes from. It is given by hand. The assignment given by hand. It's like a message that's been hand-delivered just for you. Now, when Jesus says, I give you a new commandment, he does this at the Last Supper, having just washed his disciples' feet by hand. That's what the commandment looks like. It's not the command to feel a certain way about another person. It's not even the command to, like, smile and act like you like them if you don't. It certainly isn't the command to tolerate all kinds of bad behavior or abuse, but it is absolutely the command to stoop down and wash their feet, to kiss lovingly the feet even of those who would trample upon you, to love them to the end, to die for them, even if they would not do the same for you.